It's always a wonderful privilege to share God's word because I learn so much from it, and I know that it's God's will that we encourage one another and that we believe the word. It's not just a book with lots of black and white and red, but it's a book of life. And I grew up not knowing what the Bible was, that a certain man, a priest, was the only one that needed to know it, so then I would just stay ignorant. And I learned that that wasn't my idea of life. So by 19 years old, I was ready to forget all that and ask God what I needed to do, and that's what I did. So this week I was pretty busy helping my son with his engineering company. I'm his controller of his company, and I watch over the financial stuff, and I had a lot to do, and I thought, well, I could get right into it. And then God said, aren't you going to talk to me first? Aren't I more important than that? And it was like, it was so wonderful. I go, of course. And so all week I've just had that wonderful time of fellowshipping with him. And so that morning he gave me my teaching and title and everything. So it was like really paid off. But we have to keep him first. Otherwise our lives are ordinary. We are no different from anyone else because the world will tear us down and distract us. But when we put God first, then we just live extraordinary lives. So the title of my teaching is, Are You Sleeping? Now, you might think, did you see me nodding out? No, there's a very positive lesson I want to share with you this morning. I want to point out two great sleepers in the Bible and what we can learn from them. How important is sleep? It plays an important role in our physical and mental health. According to Google, sleep is involved in healing and repair of your heart and blood vessels. Sleep gives you your mind a rest. You know, when you can't sleep, you just have these restless nights. It's your mind that's allowing you to enjoy what God has intended for us so that we can be refreshed every day. My reference to sleep represents rest, a ceasing from doing our own works. And God, on the seventh day after creation, he rested. And he intended for us to have rest. And we won't look at this, turn to it, but in Hebrews 4:10 it says, For he who has entered God's rest has himself also ceased from his own works, and God, as God did his. We need to cease from our own works to allow the things that God has done for us. So when we have that rest, we have a confidence in what God has done. What about spiritually? God has given a rest to our soul. Speaking in tongues is all about that. It's a rest. It helps us focus on the peace of God, the perfect relationship with him. A second question I could ask is, are you resting in confidence of your Abba Father? Are we living our lives in full persuasion that what he has promised he is able to perform? And that's the question that the adversary is always saying. And he started in the very beginning, did God really say you shall surely die? So today he still says, did God really say that? Because he's certainly not doing it. But so he's out to deceive. But when we rest, we have that full confidence that God is able. Look at Abraham, what he went through. It wasn't possible for he and his wife to have a child. And yet God calls those things that are not possible, possible. Mm-hmm. So nothing's really impossible with God, because everything he does is possible. Mm-hmm. I kind of like that term. You know, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. And that's the way our lives should be. We should be able to rest in confidence that God will perform his word. We see in Psalm 23 that the good shepherd, he leads the sheep to green pastures. He leads them to still waters. He provides all that they need. Let's look at Psalm 5. And the reason that they go is they trust the shepherd. And trust, we have had a lot of teachings on trust. And but I think that's something we still need to always know more. Because in a relationship starts with trust. And to know God, we have to have that trust and confidence and believing. It's all part of the whole package. But Psalm 5, 11, and 12 we're going to look at. It says, but let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love you, your name be joyful in you. For you, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. Let all those that rejoice who put their trust in you. We can rejoice. We should be a people of great rejoicing. I love the word rejoicing because it's joy over and over again. There's nothing, because we're so thankful. The great thing about what God has done is we receive it. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to be these perfect people that have to get God's approval of our lives. He's given us a new creation, Christ in us. And we've seen in that song how much that Christ in us is changed us. So we aren't ordinary anymore. We need to soar like the eagles because we are not of this world. It's just a very temporal time that we're here. Are our prayers a trusting, a letting go, and letting God? Or are we going to God with trepidation or anxiety, uncertainty of getting an answer? A lot of times we say, oh God, why is this happening? But what is in this word? All things that pertain to life and godliness. So if something's going on, maybe we haven't had our head in the word to find out what we need to do to take care of it. So prayers are such an intimate time with God, learning and talking to him and receiving answers, because he guarantees he will always take care of us. But we have to rest in that confidence that he is there. Sometimes we think about, oh God, I feel like, we haven't met in a while. But, there's that poem about walking in the footsteps, I think it's called, footsteps. And, you only see one set of footsteps. It's because God was carrying them. Well, he can't leave us because he made his dwelling in us. So if there's a problem with you being lonely, it's in your mind. And we need to have the mind of Christ to really live the life that God wants for us. We want to live in rest. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4, and I'm going to show you the first sleeper that I'm excited about. It's funny. In the end of John, it talks about how if everything that Jesus did would be written down, that the world could not contain the volumes that would be written. So you think about, there's so much that could have been put in this Bible. And the things that are put in here are pretty important. So God has a great sense of humor in some of this, in getting us excited about what he wants us to do. So look at Mark chapter 4, verse 35. We'll start. It says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling up. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And I'm using the New King James if it sounds a little different from what you have. Why are you so fearful? Why are you have so little faith? He intended for them to go across. All they had to do is take authority over that wind. And he put them in a position to experience faith. And he continued to work with them. In the multitudes, there was the second time that they needed to feed the multitudes. He asked Peter, or I'm not sure who he asked, but he says, how are we going to feed them? Well, he had already given them the experience of it, so he wanted to see them, as a good teacher, see your student, figuring out how to do it on their own. That's what a good teacher is all about, teaching them about life. So here's the big question. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And, of course, we know after the day of Pentecost, they were filled with Holy Spirit and they had that confidence. But in our lives, those are the things that really make a difference if we have peace, if we can have that rest, if we are not allowing fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. So we need to really work on those things. But isn't it interesting that he said, why are you afraid? You still have no faith? Is what the NLT says. You still have no faith? Jesus was asleep and he was resting in peace, knowing all was well. He had showed his disciples the faith to heal, feed multitudes, but they still didn't believe. We don't want to say the same, want him to say the same thing to us, right? He spoke to the storm, be still. So many times he was in a training mode with them. And that's what we do to one another. We encourage one another. You know, maybe I've mastered a certain thing, so I want to help. And it says in the word that the older women teach the younger women. You know, we're a family and we need to be teaching each other. When the light bulb goes on, it's like, okay, who can I share it with? That's the way we should feel, because that's truly how the word gets moving. When we begin to understand trusting God, we will start experiencing peace in our lives. I've heard a great definition for peace as undisturbed believing. And we have been given that from the Lord. Look at John chapter 16. Undisturbed believing. There's nothing that can disturb when you have peace. It's just a wonderful thing. John chapter 16, and we're going to start in verse 31. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come, that you will be scattered each to his own, and you will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to be afraid of what's going on in this world. Those that do evil, they will have their just reward. We do the things that we're called to do. God has a perfect plan for each one of us. So we don't need to be concerned about those things, but enjoy what makes us different. We have peace. We have understanding. We know the creator of the heavens and the earth. Can you imagine people that don't know their purpose in life? It's a very sad thing. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, I'll read in the NLT, says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ and all its riches fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatsoever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God our Father. Isn't that wonderful? We represent the Lord Jesus Christ to the world. So can we sleep? Can we be in a boat that's tossed and fro? I'm sure, you know, he could have felt that, but he knew they needed to figure it out.
When I was in the Navy, the best seat I ever had was when the boat was moving.
Oh, okay. I know.
Why? Because I wasn't afraid it was going to sink. I know I'd be fine.
And right. You can't be seasick when you're sleeping.
Right, that's true.
What did you just read? I kind of spaced out.
That was Colossians 3:15-17, and that was the NLT version.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. When you allow the Lord to be at the helm of your ship, you will walk in peace. Though you may be going through rough waters, you can rest in peace, knowing the Lord will get you to the other side. God will always see you through. We can declare in the name of Jesus Christ, storm, be still. Cancer, be gone. Anxiety, leave my mind. Financial burdens are not mine because God has supplied all my need. But we need to be the one that speak it. We are not of this world. We don't have to earn God's love. His love is unfailing because we were chosen before the foundation of the world. We have the DNA of Jesus Christ. We have all that Jesus Christ is. So we need to walk in that. We don't need to be ordinary anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What causes rest? Faith, trust, confidence in God as our Heavenly Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ as our big brother. It's a family. It's all about. And obedience is the thing that is required. Obedience was what was required in Adam in the very beginning. Today, the world's trying to tell you, you can be your own God. You can make all these choices. But that's not God's will, and they will find out in the end that they've missed the boat. What about the other sleeper? Let's look at Acts chapter 12. And that's our friend Peter. I love Peter because he finds out something and then he goes for it. I kind of like that myself. Sometimes I run too fast, but in the long run, it's that excitement for the word that really makes it different. Each one of us so different. Acts chapter 12, verses 5, we'll start. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. What a great message that is right there. So the church was praying for him constantly. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals. Get dressed, come on." Yeah, he was probably groggy and trying to figure out what the heck's going on here. Follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know what was done by the what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street. Immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." You know, he could have been one eye open and thinking, "Oh, Lord," could have been just trying to, "Why me, O Lord? What did I do wrong?" Yet he was sleeping. He was totally at peace. The church was praying for him. You know, when you have a faithful body of believers praying for you, you have that confidence. God's going to answer. Our prayer team has seen tremendous miracles. In 4 years, we've seen babies born that a couple weren't supposed to have, couldn't have kids. Healings of babies, so many different things that as we stand together on God's word, we'll see these great results.
The chains didn't have to break, they just fell off.
Yeah, no. Right, I know. No one had to get a chain or a saw or whatever. It just, when things happen with God, It just happens. Mm-hmm. And we need to expect it. That's part of that peace, that rest that we have, is expecting that God will perform his word. I'm reading a book to my grandson, Clinton, named The God Smuggler, about Brother Andrew. In Holland, he became a missionary and smuggled Bibles to the communist countries. And this was in the 1950s, 60s.
Yeah.
And his ministry, he just died in 2017, and his ministry called Open Doors is still going strong. But he had to go to a Christian college or a missionary school. He is from Holland. He didn't know English. He had to go to Scotland, so he had to learn the language very quickly. And at this college, they trained them. In the morning, they taught them the word, and then in the afternoon, they taught them skills like taking a car apart. And during his missionary time, he had pretty beat-up cars, but they ran forever, like 300,000 miles on a car. But one of the lessons that they gave them to do was they sent them to a city to speak the word and to hold meetings, and they were to go with $1 or £1, and they were to come back with that £1. Sounds familiar. and they could not, in their meetings, they could not ask for any money, and they just had to believe God. Well, Brother Andrew and his group, they did tremendous. Every time they received any money, they gave 15% to someone else in need. And they just moved the word tremendously. In 1984, Bob and I went to a Bible college in Rome City, Indiana, with our two sons who were two and a half and four. And in the 2 years we were there, we had a faith training experience, I'm going to call it that, where we had to travel 1,350 miles. I looked it up on the internet. Couldn't remember exactly how far it was, from Rome City, Indiana, to Roswell, New Mexico.
Yeah.
And we had 48 hours to get there. We hitchhiked. We didn't tell our kids for a long time because we didn't want them to tell you. But it was a training program. And we had, I think it was $10, $10 or $20 with us.
Right.
Oh, it was $5?
Okay. Yeah, Ralph and Sandy did
that. Yeah, you too. If we had $5 in our pocket, you had to have some money in your pocket or you would could get, you were a vagrant and you could be thrown in jail. So we had to have that $5 to go out and $5 to come back. And on the Google Maps, it was a 20 and a half hour straight drive.
Wow.
We had 48 hours to get there, hitchhiking. And our first time, we went 2 years. Our first time, we made it in 24 hours. Wow. And you think about it, it's tremendous. But you know what it was? It was all about helping us see that God will provide. And we never had more than a 15 to 45 minute delay between rides. And we were instructed to pray for each ride and then expect that God would have it. And one time we were dropped off in a place, I think it was in Texas. Was it in Texas? And right before they dropped us off, middle of nowhere, I think it was these guys in the truck, and I think they thought they were going to be funny, and dropped us off. And right, probably a mile, we passed a mile. A sign was there a mile from where we just passed, and it said, "Hitchhikers may be escapees from the mental hospital." So it's like, oh my gosh, this is really great. Now, what thing to try and put fear in our hearts? And so we just, Bob and I held hands, and we closed our eyes and prayed. We opened our eyes, and there was a car waiting for us right there, waiting for us to finish praying. So God would, he would provide people on the way to take care of us. And the church at the college, everyone was praying for us. So I think maybe we need to put ourselves in a faith training program. If we have financial problems, then faithfully give. Yeah. See, just prove God. He says in Malachi, prove me now herewith, that the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that you won't be able to receive it. Be faithful. Pray every day. Go to God's word. It's our necessary food. If we have a certain opportunity, okay, healing. Okay, I'm going to go to the word for an hour every day and just fill my mind with it, and then I'm going to walk out. You know, when Moses received the staff, and he was at the water, the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army was coming, and you have millions of people behind you. He's making this decision, saying, God, what do I do? And God said, I gave you the staff. You have to use it. We have to use that Holy Spirit within us. God's not going to do it for us. He's provided us. He's given us the armor of God. He's provided us His Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ. He's given us everything. We need to walk out on it. And look at how simple it is. When we can sleep at night, knowing we can sleep in that confidence that He has provided us everything, so we can, so we're not ordinary anymore. Let's look at one more verse. I'm going to look at Philippians 1:6, and I'm going to read it in the NLT. I'll give you a minute to find it. But I think this is just a great close. Philippians 1:6, Paul says, I am certain that God, who began the good work in you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. God has a good work in each one of us, and He will finish it at the very end when Christ returns. You'll never be left behind thinking, well, I have to do this on my own, that He will be with us. So we need to rest in this Word of God, rest in all that He has given us, and become great sleepers. So I want to share a song with you. It's called Chasing the Lions by Gino Meldrum.
I once walked in the shadow of darkness. Now I stand in the light of the Lord. I have put on the armor of God's mighty word. His truth is my shield and my sword. I am ready. For our adversary still walks among us, seeking only to steal and destroy. And I still have a choice, either run or to fight, when I'm hearing those old lions roar. But I am ready. I am ready. Yes, I'm ready to live, and I'm ready to love. I'm ready to chase the lions. Energized by God's Spirit, I'm fearless and bold, and I'm ready to chase the lions. I am ready. I am ready. For greater is He that is living in me. I'm speaking God's word without fear. I don't look to the left, I don't look to the right. My confidence lies in my Lord. If God be for us, who can be against us? No one, no one. So don't hide your life from a world that's in need. Pray for boldness, the Lord will provide. When the lions appear, grab them right by the fear. Tell them it's their turn to hide. Fearless and bold, and we're ready to chase the lions. Are you ready to live? Are you ready to love? Are you ready to glorify God up above? Are you ready to serve? Are you ready to give? Are you ready to stand? Are you ready to live? Are you ready?
Father, we just thank you that we can chase those lions, that we can live in love and light, that we can shine representing our Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do. We thank you that you will perform your work in us till the Lord returns. So we thank you for great joy and peace and rest to our souls. We thank you that we are the men and women that you have called out before the foundation of the world, to save this world, to give them life, give them hope. So I thank you for blessing everyone here, those that are on the phone and those that will be listening on the website. I thank you for all of our lives and how we can stand together and we can rejoice in who we are and the life that we will have for all eternity. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.